Well, let us start on time. We sing now in Psalm 73, and we begin, of course, at the beginning in Psalm 73, and we shall sing to verse number 8, that is the opening five stanzas. Psalm 73. Let us join now together in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we are conscious that in the psalm that we have been singing together, we have so much of our own experience recorded, because we too become envious of the wicked when we see worldly men going on in sin, indifferent to God, indeed antagonistic to God, and everything they turn their hands to seems to prosper, and everything that they say seems to be listened to, and they move the opinions of the world, and they are the movers and the shakers, as we say. In every generation it is the same. And as we look at our own generation, alas, we see similar things, and therefore we cry the same words as the psalmist, because to us it is at times a great mystery and a great sorrow, and it seems that we wash our hands in innocency in vain. We seem to pray in vain, we seem to read the scriptures in vain, and yet the church is divided, always quoting their texts and pursuing their particular interpretations and applications. And we find a great deal of disunity and hardly any harmony, even in professing churches with a good confession. And it troubles us and it causes us distress. and it causes us to pray and to read the scriptures more seriously, diligently and prayerfully, and yet nothing seems to change. And the sinning goes on, and the weeping of God's people goes on, and the discrimination goes on, and the objections to the gospel go on, and in the church wearisome hearing goes on, and in the world worldliness goes on as ever before. And so we join in the singing of that psalm, O God, because we know it is from God, and it is intended to enable us to face reality that in this present world we can expect tribulation and difficulties, but to be of good cheer because Christ has overcome the world. He too was misunderstood and misrepresented. He was accused of being mad and bad, a troublemaker, and he was accused of being a liar, claiming to be God's son and God's promised Messiah, and to be the only Savior of the world. And we read of how he was ridiculed when he spoke to men with great earnestness and tearfulness indeed, as he saw Jerusalem destined for a terrible destruction because it had refused the day of its opportunity and visitation. And we find that as we try to follow in his footsteps, we are faced with the same kinds of objections and opponents, nothing new under the sun. And so as we gather here this afternoon, O God, to read the scriptures yet again, to sing God's praises yet again, to see one another yet again, in order to be encouraged, in order to be made less sorrowful and more joyful in so great our salvation. And so we give thanks, O God, for many of the psalms which have a plaintive note, almost a discouraging, depressing mood, and yet we find in the scriptures there is no cause for depression, no cause for low spirits or uncertainties, because we read the gospel there in clear tones, clear outlines. The message is not hidden in a corner. It is not contradictory or confusing. It is a word that is plain, and those who have a new nature can see it, and we love it, and we would not have it any other way. So we rejoice, O God, to be here today. And even if the whole world is on the broad road to destruction and to a fiery judgment, yet we will still rejoice. We will be glad in the God of our salvation, and we will honor and praise thy holy name. But we do care for the world around us. We care for our enemies. We care for our rulers. We care for the administrative authorities who are set over us, not only in our democratic system of selection, but in the scriptures we are reminded that the authorities that are over us, they have rights. Caesar has rights. Even if he is ungodly, he has rights. The rights of rule, the rights of sovereign power, the rights to inflict penalty upon evildoers, and sometimes even on righteous doers, we find him doing so. But always the sanction of God for the rulers, and they have rights, and it is for us to obey the civil magistrate. So we give thanks, Heavenly Father, that we are afforded a measure of peace in these days. We hear of wars and rumors of wars, the amassing of armies, the threats of invasions. And even if it takes place, we will not be afraid, as the psalmist says, even although the whole earth collapses around us. We will not be afraid because the Lord is with us and he is our refuge. and he is our strength. We find in the scriptures, O God, that the God of Israel is a God of battles. He is a mighty man of war, and he rises up as a warrior arising from his sleep in order to do battle on behalf of his people. And so we rejoice, O God, that if we are on God's side, then God is on our side. So we give thanks for the Lord's Day, for the word open before us, for the opportunity and the health and the strength given to us to come, for the inclination of heart, whatever our motives be, we're glad to be here. And we pray that we would remember it is always good to be here, as it was for the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration on that unique, glorious occasion. So for us, this is a glorious occasion, and it is good for us to be here, O God. So bless us as we try to honor God's name and to honor God's gospel, to look unto Jesus, to listen to him, to live unto him and for him. And all things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, let us read the scriptures. Yeah, that's next in line. We're going to read in the Gospel according to Mark, and in chapter 3, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. And we'll read through the chapter. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man who had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about them with anger, on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond the Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, they came unto him. And he spoke to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, to cast out demons. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And they went into a house, and the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, He is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devil he casts out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit have never forgiveness, but he is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother, and my brother, and my sister, and mother. And so on. Amen. And now the notices. Deacons, please note we're due to meet on Tuesday at 5:45, Deacon's Court, at Linfield, face-to-face. Masks, of course, will be worn, and we will sanitize our hands because we're passing documents around. Wednesday, 7 p.m., will be, God willing, in Pitt Street here. Next Lord's Day, the 23rd of January, 10:30 a.m., will be a recorded service, we expect, and the 4:30 meeting in Pitt Street, gathered together once again. We welcome, of course, people who are listening in. Even now, apparently, there are people listening, as far as I know. And those who do listen to the recordings, we're always welcoming. Indeed, sometimes new hearers. And the offering will now be received. Psalm number 73, we continue from Psalm 73 from verse 19, and we sing to verse 24. Psalm 73 from verse 19.
Amen.